Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by FedEx Office. A new year brings a new beginning. For all our listeners that own a business, I want to tell you about FedEx Office. If you are just starting or have been running your company for generations, FedEx Office gives you the best way to print marketing materials, posters, signage, graphics, and so much more. With FedEx, creating, editing, saving, and ordering are fast and easy. We are teaming up with FedEx and Podgo to bring our listeners 30% off your next order for $100 or more at podgo.co/FedEx. That's podgo.co/FedEx, podgo.co/FedEx. For 30% off your next order, FedEx, the world on time.
So I have a quick question. You guys are siblings.
Chris and I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That makes sense now.
He's Beard and I's little brother.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of the three.
Oh, gotcha.
Almost the youngest.
Some would say the handsomest.
Actually, I'm the pretty one.
What's funny is that
he's got the biggest dong. Rick's got the best.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty fair.
That's how.
That's a fair assessment.
You guys took polls over this?
We measured polls over this.
Yeah, we took polls over our polls.
It was a poll. We're not actually on yet.
Well, yeah, we're live.
My kids are listening. Yeah. Shit.
Oh, my God. We're live. That's hilarious. I did not think we were live. That's hilarious.
That's fantastic. Well,
anyway.
I stand by the prettiest.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Time Spent Poorly Show with your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron. Here's a quick clip from tonight's show to whet your appetite.
And I was sitting with my arm up on the arm of the couch, and so the TV is over here, and I can just see my forearm and my hand like out of my peripherals, and I saw movement. And turned to see a spider starting to crawl up the sleeve of my hoodie, and I am not ashamed to say I fucking threw both of my arms up in the air. I never found the spider to kill it because I just threw my arms up in the air as I literally fucking leapt off of the couch and screamed like a housewife with a 50s fucking it was, yeah, that's I don't do good with spiders at all.
Wow, this really sounds like it's going to be the best show, better than anyone we've done before or anything we can do afterward in the history of the program. You mark my words. We know there's all sorts of better ways you can be spending your time, so thanks for spending yours, albeit poorly, with us. If you want to learn more about who we are, go to timespentpoorly.com. Everything you need to know, whether it's accessing past episodes, future live broadcasts, or other shows on our network, it's all right there. There's also a link to our Patreon if you find yourself compelled to support one of your favorite shows, hosted by any of these nobodies from the Pacific Northwest. Well, gentlemen, I'm not here, but you are, so let's get it on! Without further delay, please welcome your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron.
Hey, Bruno, thanks for joining us. We got...
Welcome
back.
Glad to be here, guys.
That you're here.
Our oldest and dearest.
This is actually another fun fact about this episode is it's the first episode of the new season, first episode of 2021.
Yeah.
All right.
21.
And Bruno.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, you as well.
You as well, sir.
It's already thrown 2020 over a barrel.
Yeah, I'm already, man.
And made it squeal like
what
a little
pig. What was someone's meme? It's like 2021 so far is just like 2020 with bangs.
Yeah.
I like that. The He-Man haircut.
My girlfriend and I were discussing in a car ride the other day about the importance or the actual severity of New Year's resolutions. Where do you guys stand? Did you make one?
No.
No?
Bored? I always, you know, we talked the last show about my hate for not hate, but just my like general resistance to holidays and stuff like that, because it's just too cyclical. But I find myself every New Year's doing the same, like, well, it's time for New Year, new me kind of attitude. And I'm like, you know, you probably saw the elliptical box out on the driveway coming in. That was a good deal at Costco though.
But I bought another elliptical, but it's inside the house.
Yeah, I saw through the window your son was using it. So yeah. At least it's not going to waste.
He's used it more than me at this point. He was watching Dateline and
Support of the elliptical. I took 4 minutes off my 2 mile in 6 months with it.
I've had great success with ellipticals. I've lost tons of weight when I have a regimented schedule to it, and mm-hmm. I'm just like, I follow through on it, then I do really well. But it's like, it doesn't really matter when I decide to start. Cause like the last time I started like exercising to get healthy was in in August or September of 2016 was my last big like go at it before I kind of dropped off and faded again. And it was after coming off of a vacation. We went to Disneyland, and so we got all the pictures back. I'm like, oh, all these are unflattering.
Oh yeah.
I thought you were going to mention all the walking around being like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Oh,
anymore.
I chafed bad. I had to waddle like two blocks down to the CVS to find like the
everyone chafes the, after the chafing. Splash Mountain.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yeah, we had
to get the jock itch, basically the white powdery shit that you spray.
Oh yeah.
What about you, Bruno? New Year's resolutions? Yes, no.
I'm not. Look, I'm one of those like, you know, motivational type guys. Why wait for the new year? Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow can be your new year. Just start tomorrow. Why wait for the new year?
I agree with you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
God damn. That belongs on like a t-shirt or something. that was motivational. You're not joking.
Put it on one of your shirts, man.
I might have to.
You guys have some motivational stuff on.
We do. Yeah.
That are kind of in that similar vein.
I mean, the brand is a little bit around, you know, be you, be who you want to be, you know, like right. Just be active, do your thing, go for it.
I feel like that belongs on one of those posters that you'd see in an office of like an eagle swooping down to get a fish out of the motivation. Every tomorrow be your new year.
I have a poster on the door to this room, and it says, get shit done. That's it.
Nice.
Is there a big pile of dew on there, or like the emoji poop?
No.
Just get shit done.
Just be proactive, be doing work and moving forward, man.
I like it.
That's it.
I struggled with that for a really long time, actually.
My mother-in-law got me a sign this year for Christmas that says, my sense of humor hurts people's feelings, or might hurt your feelings. Something along those lines. That's
good. All right, time to try this. This new beer.
We had today we have an Irish ale. Well, we actually have two new beers. There's one on one on tap on my little mini 1 gallon.
Dude, cake. I wish I was trying this. That would have been awesome.
We're gonna have to connect sometime. One of these times when you do one of your trips and you have a window of time.
I'm coming by for sure.
When Tommy Lee Jones does The Hunted 2.
Yeah,
he'll be nearby. You can drop in.
Well, you've done. Bruno's done a couple road trips, like motorcycle road trips. Yeah. Was this last one that you did motorcycle, or have you done that yet?
It was. Yeah, no, I did. In October, I went from I flew to LA from Jersey, and then from LA we did a bike trip out to Utah, and then from Utah down to Arizona and back to LA. It was a short one. It was only like 7 to 9 days, 10 days.
It's a good time though. Country though,
incredible,
Arizona, amazing.
Yeah, we did southern Utah, Arizona, down in the Monument Valley area, 2 summers ago, and loved it. It was a fun trip, for the longest we've ever taken my camper anywhere.
You took a camper?
I mean, it's
yeah.
Ooh, damn, man!
Broke all
this. It's incredible. You know when. When you think of the United States, most people think of the big cities because that's what we're known for primarily. But I mean, this country is incredibly beautiful.
Yeah,
it really is. And so varied. Hi, Mara. Yeah.
There's really like, I mean, you could really spend your whole life just seeing places in your own country. I know. And I want to travel, like to go overseas and go to Italy and stuff, but we really don't have to. There's plenty to see here.
I was having a conversation with Matthew about that actually here not too long ago. About he was asking about wanting to go to Europe, and I was like, "Yeah, I believe me, I would like to go to Europe at some point."
Check USA off the map.
There is so much of this country that I still have yet to see.
Yeah,
like, I want to go back to New York. I want to take the kids with me to New York because I think they would love it. Like
the only thing you travel the country for the beauty. You travel internationally for the culture, I think. You know, like, don't get me wrong. There's obviously other countries also, but just experiencing these cultures and just seeing how other people live and what they're used to and their customs is pretty incredible as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Most of the United States is just nonsense culture. I hate to say it because I love it here, but our culture is bankrupt for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is the culture is a mix of a lot of cultures, so it gets a little murky.
It's incredible.
It just turns into this very nondescript, boring, beigey kind of bullshit, uninteresting.
Well, and I think
white girls in Indian costumes.
Yeah, man.
I think it's been overwhelmed.
And black guys in cowboy hats.
By the America culture that we're trying to shove.
Yeah.
Guns and guitars.
It doesn't even have anything to do with like a political standing, but I really feel like the last like 4 to 8 years, maybe it has so much to do with the prominence of social media and that.
Yeah.
But
it does not resonate with me.
No, man.
And I like all the things that it's so much about, but I don't like the
cheeseburgers and apple pie and corn. Like I love that shit, but
I fucking hate baseball.
But I don't need American flag. Like, I don't need American flag pants.
Underpants?
No. Yeah.
No.
Well, maybe underpants. Just so I can drop traffic.
Or a shirt with a giant eagle across the chest.
And I don't need Facebook posts where people talk about, oh, I guess I'm just the empty friend that nobody really wants to hang out with. And it's like, fuck you.
I almost made
Facebook.
I don't need your friendship.
If you're that desperate for attention that you're making those kind of posts on Facebook, like you should be talking to a therapist, not your Facebook newsfeed. Goddamn.
No, because everybody's projecting their best life. They're not living it. They're just projecting it.
Yeah. No,
pretty much.
Somebody call me
and then murdering their wife.
I tried to say that was because if you look at my Facebook, I, for one, I do have the background in all the social media work where, you know, I was kind of trained on a lot of things to say and not say, you know, on social media and whatnot.
Right.
But I had somebody call me out and say that I use my social media, like my Facebook, as like a sham to present my life as this like happy picture perfect disc.
But if you're going to do anything like that, that should be what you're doing on social media.
Yeah.
Because
you don't want to spread your bullshit like fucking sour cream on everybody else.
Right.
I mean, ask anybody that is remotely involved in my life that is, you know, makes regular appearances on my social media. What's so fucking wrong with just being happy all the time?
I agree.
Like, really, what, why is that such a problem? And why is it so sad to think that it has to be forced? Ask my kids. My kids are happy as fuck. I don't post pictures of Annabelle doing all of her goofy, cute shit because I want people to think that I have the perfect daughter. I post that shit because I have the perfect daughter. She's fucking amazing.
Well, I would have said that, but then my daughter cut like her part of her. She tried.
I thought she tried to
give herself bangs last night.
Down
to like that far.
That's such a normal kid.
She's
move.
Done it once before already, though. That's the problem. Is it's like you didn't learn the first time.
And of course not. Isn't she like 7 or 8?
She's 7.
Did I talk about this?
They're still fucking stupid.
And then you ask her why she did. I don't know.
I'm totally Matthew. I know you're watching, and I love you, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to push you right in front of this. Yeah, see, there he is. He's even chiming in himself. He's happy.
I'm fucking happy, Dad.
Yeah, I'm fucking happy, Dad. Him and Annabelle watching me.
Also, Andrew K., I want your pants to scream freedom, too.
Yeah, I want your pants
too.
To scream freedom, Andrew.
that was a genius comment right there.
As, like, just laying around the house watching football on a Sunday, I would wear American flag PJ pants. I don't give a shit.
Like the dude in.
But
I'll wear whatever laying Matthew, around the house, but Matthew, I'm not wearing it in public.
Matthew was like 8 or 9, mm-hmm. and again, and a boy. Normally, when you see kids cutting their own hair, it's always girls.
Cameron did it too when he was like 4.
I cut my own hair today.
He needed a haircut. And I wasn't getting him to the barber fast enough for his liking. And he has this really, really nasty cowlick in the front that just does not fucking work for anything. And so he just took his bang portrait of his hair and just cut it. So he had this like poof of hair here. And then it all butted up
ends
really
abruptly.
Short of the front.
At a kid.
I admittedly, if you looked at him from the front, you wouldn't notice it. But then I was sitting in the living room with him like the next day, and he was sitting on the couch next to me. We were watching TV, and I turned and I looked over at him, and it's like the front of his head was like a slope. And I was like, "Did you cut your hair?" And he goes, "Yeah."
Oh man,
it was fucking great.
The shame.
Yeah, he was. It was. I would have liked.
I think we've all done it.
I would have liked his face when he did it, just to see the threat wash over him. Of like,
oh, fuck. It's like, oh, shit, moment.
Yeah.
Hashtag lesson learned.
Because I've done that when I'm like trimming my beard or something and I go up too far. And then it's like, oh, now the beard has to go. And you get that like, oh, god damn it, look on your face. But
yeah, I'm super lucky because I spent... what, 15, 16 years with my head completely shaved?
Like bald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if I mess up when I'm cutting my hair, like once a month now, I just pig shave it. And I'm like, well, time to start over.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of hair. It'll grow back.
Right? Yeah. I used to tell my ex-wife that all the time because I would just do weird shit with my beard. Yeah. Like I would, one day I would just be like, okay, I'm going to get rid of the mustache and trim it down and I'm going to have an Abe Lincoln beard for the night. And I'll get rid of it in the morning because there's no way I'm going out in public with that shit. Or, you know, trim it down and have the big pirate stack with the, you know, the long goatee thing in the bottom. I would do it all. And she would always get super pissed. Like she took it personally because she really liked my beard. And it's like, it's back in a week. Calm down.
Bitches go crazy over facial hair.
They really do.
If you do something really weird with it, it's like the end of the world. Ward shaved.
Yeah.
For the first time since I've been doing the show,
yeah,
he looks like he's 20 again.
He looks significantly
and he's
younger.
41, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks 20 again. Like when I first met him, is how he looks now.
Yeah, my wife's like, "You look like a little baby face."
Awesome. He took 20 years off himself.
It really does. Facial hair definitely makes a difference.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I look about, you know, 14 if I shave my face. So I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, but. I don't like how I look without facial hair anymore. I look young and wrong.
I love you too, Aim.
Love you, Amy. Kiss the baby for me, please.
So how are those beers? How are those beers tasting?
That's what I was just going to say. I think this.
I gave it a little more time to age. It's better than I originally thought it was.
I think this might be my new favorite. It's a tough call between this and the Helles, but this. This is
well, you pounded the American ale to or the amber ale too.
Yeah,
that was the very first
one.
That was more me just being like, I need some fucking beer in me than it was. That was a stressful time in my life.
I'd say the American the German Helles is ended up being pretty decent.
It's
a lot crisper even now, even a few more weeks into it. It's like I poured a glass the other day and I was like, wow, that is really clear.
I don't think I had that one.
No.
No. This one's excellent though. And I've had one of each, I think.
Yeah, except for that one and the most recent one. I have an American ale in the keg over there.
Oh, do you?
How many brews deep are you in now?
I've done 6 so far.
All right.
And I have plans of doing another this weekend. I was going to do one last weekend, but I was like, I need to work my inventory down a little bit because it was starting to build up over the holidays. Yeah. I can't drink that fast. And we weren't doing shows. And so I took some to hockey with me and it went well the first couple times. Like people drank it the first couple times. And then the time after that night, there's just other people with beer there. So it didn't get...
Yeah.
Pick that, and I'm not going to be the guy that's like, guys, try my beer. So I'm just going to, you know, it's there if they want it. It's available.
That's it. Yeah.
Several times on the show, I only intended to humor you because I'm not a big beer drinker. I like my whiskey. That's about it, really.
Yeah.
So
far I've been real picky about the ones I choose to
damn fine work, man.
To do, really do. Because I don't like I like IPAs okay, but they're not my favorite.
I'm sorry you said this earlier, but I was not clearly paying attention. What other ones do you have in the fridge and what's on tap?
So there's more of the German Helles. They're in 22 ounces in here.
Okay.
Then that is the American Ale.
Okay.
And then there is the porter.
Have I had the American Ale?
No, that's new.
That's new.
That's the other new one?
That's
new. Okay.
And then, that's one I can just taste because it's in the keg.
And then there's Cold Smoke.
I don't have to drink one.
So satisfy my curiosity here because I don't know what your eBay adventure is.
Okay.
I fucking hate eBay. I bought two things off of it in the entirety of its existence. Both of them were refurbished phones from this place out of Florida. And I was really, really happy with both of my purchases. And I have to do another one here soon because Matthew's getting a phone for his birthday in May. But please.
So the 1 gallon mini keg over there was the first purchase I've made off of eBay in probably 15 years. Because I went to Amazon and never looked back.
Yeah, see that
was... eBay was like, because eBay was always that place that you went that was like, might be okay.
Do they have 60,000 quasi?
There's quasi sketch, yeah. And so
otherwise, I'm not buying from them.
And Amazon has a degree of that too, but it's a lot more.
It's gotten a lot worse.
It has gotten worse in recent.
It's like borderline years. Etsy level at times.
Yeah,
but you guys saying Amazon or eBay?
Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Like I bought I wore it for the Christmas episode. I bought a Gremlins pullover hoodie off of Amazon and had absolutely no idea. It was very Etsy-esque. Like I said, it was,
you have to be a little more careful on Amazon than you used to have to be.
It was made in some Asian country. It was like really fine, not warm material. It was, you know, like I said, it reminded me of the stuff you'd get off like Cafe Press or Etsy.
Right. So I order that and that goes splendidly. It was fun. You can't really fuck that up because it was just a mini keg.
Yeah.
Well, those dogs are going crazy. Huh? They're not even my dogs. They're just barking.
Oh, really?
Sorry. I can't hear them.
It's driving me nuts.
They're fucking loud.
They are loud. Anyway, so it's so I order that because you can't really like that can't really get fucked up. It's a brand new item. If I don't get it, then I it's still guaranteed. But my son, my 14-year-old boy, has been watching the show Grey's Anatomy, and then on top of that, he's got this weird thing where he likes to collect tangible DVD copies of movies as a 14-year-old in the kind of that like in that generation.
That's
where
unique for his generation.
For his generation where he wants to, and I think it's because we had a lot of DVDs when he was like little, and he just kind of got used to the idea. And so now he wants to build his own collection. And I did that with VHS.
Yeah.
And then immediately jumped on board with DVD when it became available.
With books.
Yeah.
It's awful.
But I stopped because they're so fucking heavy.
So he's doing this. He's doing this thing, and he came home and he presented this whole like thing to me, like this gave this whole presentation, and he's like, "Okay, so they're selling seasons 1 through 15 or 16 of Grey's Anatomy on DVD," and he's already bought a couple or a few seasons, and he's like, "So what I want to do is I want to buy this whole set of them, and then I'll sell those other ones like on." I'll take them to a pawn shop or whatever. It was working out. It was like $150 for all these seasons. And so I was like, okay, but he's like, but he needs to dip into his savings account for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fine, you can do that, but you need to pay yourself back interest. So you're going to pay yourself back.
Ooh, I love that.
He would borrow $160
right there,
and then he's got to pay himself back another $15. Nothing major, but it was basically
the right idea, though. Yeah, I love that.
So he's like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And so,
like borrowing from his IRA almost.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So he does it. And so I order it and he gets all excited because they get here the other day. And so he had this little, like, in the back of his mind worry about them being pirated or bootlegs. And so I was like, well, there's a possibility that it could be. It's off of eBay. I go, I haven't bought from eBay in forever and I don't really trust them with sellers like this. And when you're buying DVDs like this, and this can this can happen on Amazon too. And so he's going through and he's watching all this stuff and he gets on to like season 14. He's going through and like checking every disc to see if they're legitimate versions. He gets to seasons 14 and 15 and Grey's Anatomy is an ABC produced show. It's always been an ABC produced show. Season 14's discs all come up with Universal Studios, the globe and the and the whole musical intro to him. And he shows me to verify this happened. So I messaged the seller. The first message was because he was pretty upset about it. And I go, these are pirated knockoffs. Seasons 14 and 15 have Universal Studios, NBC intro. This series has always been an ABC series. How do you plan to rectify this? One more time. It's Grey's Anatomy that we're buying. The show Grey's Anatomy.
For a 14-year-old boy.
Wait, hold on. Say this again. So who makes you Grey's Anatomy?
ABC.
AKA.
ABC. And what was the logo that showed up?
The logo on those seasons showed up as Universal, which is an NBC owned.
Yeah, ABC, I think, is owned by Disney now, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, they are.
So it definitely would not be Universal.
Buena Vista came up for most of them, but then these last couple seasons came up. And then the other thing that was suspect on them, what's that?
Did it get sold?
No.
The show? Because sometimes that happens.
No.
No, it's
still on ABC. And ABC holds on to that one. Because it's so fucking old.
It makes Housewives wet.
It's another one of those Shonda Rhimes.
It's fucking awful.
But. So the other thing he's noticing on them is there's menus that are weird where it's like now we're getting into ones that says just episode one, episode two, episode three, whereas the previous seasons had episode titles.
So they're bootlegs, but somebody actually took the time.
They're bootlegs with a tremendous amount of effort.
Yeah,
there's a ton of effort on them. Yeah. But even some of like the packaging is weird because it'll have like pictures of the cast from several years previous where it won't have current cast members even in the cases.
Oh, really?
That it comes in. Yeah. And some of these are those cardboard cases. So it's like,
damn, they're running a legit outfit.
Yeah. So
did they respond?
Nothing like the bazaar in fucking Iraq.
I was missing
a whole episode of Deadwood. I was pissed.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So he goes, hello, this is the original genuine product. Is there any quality product problem with the DVD or with the DVD? I said, it is not genuine. Universal didn't release nor distribute any season, yet the discs start with Universal opening for season 14. I'm obviously speaking in foreign language sentences now. With Universal opening. For seasons 14 and 15. The menus are also generic, don't include episode titles like all previous seasons, but rather numbers only, and the image on the main menu screen doesn't include current cast members, but rather from several seasons previous. This is not genuine, and I did not pay to receive inauthentic merchandise. So what I'm kind of like going for here is like the hope that he will be like, I give you discount so much money back. Or like, if I'm sounding threatening enough, here's all your money back.
Right.
So
you get all of these on DVD plus your cash.
Right. Hello, friends. Hello, friends. I am very sorry. If you don't want this product, please return the product to me. I will refund you after receiving the product. Thank you. I said some of the seasons also came damaged because they didn't come in a box. They came like wrapped in like wrapping paper, basically like plastic wrapping paper. It was weird. So then I go, I'm actually considering turning you in for selling pirated merchandise. Did you know you could go to prison or pay a fine up to $250,000 per violation because your actions are thus far criminal?
Yeah, man. You wouldn't.
I don't feel comfortable about getting my money back until I've shipped back and or until I've shipped back the merchandise. So basically I was saying, I don't want to ship back this merchandise and run the risk of not getting my money back.
Yeah, no, you're going to give me my money back before
I want my money back first.
Pirated shit.
And then when you give me my money back, I'll be like, nope, these don't even exist.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did you just admit to making pirated?
Yeah. So yeah, that's what's going on. And it's Grey's Anatomy of all things.
Oh,
yeah,
I love that you're fighting with some random foreigner
over
pirated Grey's Anatomy
DVDs.
Which is, I've probably only seen two or three episodes, but it's a god awful show.
It's not great.
How much was the full set?
Shonda Rhimes.
For all the seasons, $150.
$150.
Yeah.
It seems like a fair price, actually. Like, you get those bundles and they just sell them off.
Even, like, honestly, even pirated, it's not bad.
Yeah, really.
I don't know. I mean, look, it costs you each, I don't know how many DVDs are in that set, but a DVD is probably about like $1.50, $2.50 to get it made. And then whatever the printing and all that stuff, you figure, I don't know, let's call it $5 to be nice. I feel like that's pushing it.
Plus the time investment of like setting up the DVD menu.
Yeah, but when you're doing that at such a massive scale, because you know this person's not just selling one.
It's not just person either. It's like a team. One. Yeah.
Yeah. So the scale of it.
100 children doing that for
him. This isn't his only profile either, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
There's more than just Michael ZZZ9 out there. There's got to be ZZZ10 and ZZZ11.
YYY9.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not, I don't know what I'm going to end up doing. Ultimately, it's going to be kind of I'm going to leave it up to my kid to see what he wants to do. Part of his problem is he really wants
the female body inspectors. That's what I'd do.
He wants to have authentic stuff, which I get. That's understandable. To a degree.
Especially if you're collecting, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so the one thing I said is like, why don't you wait till the series runs its course? It's getting close because it's resting on that.
If it's
main character played by
they're still airing it. I thought it was over already.
Oh no, it's still going.
I was like, why don't you wait till the series runs its course and there's a box set that comes out.
There will be
multiple box sets.
Yeah, there'll be the ultra collector's edition.
Exactly.
Yeah. They've already been milking this thing for as much as they can. Once it's done, if physical media even exists by the time it's done.
Well, that's the only thing is like, he might just be buying a box set on a terabyte drive or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point, actually.
But so that's what's kind of going on with that. I thought it was an interesting story.
My girlfriend bought us Scenet off of eBay for Christmas. And
how'd that go?
Well, the one that she bought was supposed to have shipped on the 17th, but never actually shipped. And they said that there was a problem. I don't remember the specific language of it, but she got an email or something saying that there was a problem with it. So she got her money refunded. So she was bummed because we couldn't play Scenet on Christmas together like we had planned on doing. And so she went on and she ordered a second one. And the second one arrived after a couple days. And then here just the other day, the first one that she ordered that she's already been refunded for
showed up.
And she's like, I don't know what to do. I can't.
It's a nice surprise.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, who the fuck needs two copies of Scenet?
Give it away as a gift.
Talking about Scenet. Have you guys ever heard of a game called Saboteur?
No. Sell me on that.
This game is incredible. I just found out about this over the holiday breaks. And it's a card game. So you have to get the actual set of cards called Saboteur. And essentially, it's very social. So you have to play with other people, obviously. And then there's cards of miners, and in those cards of miners there are several saboteurs, and the point of the game is to get to the gold. And if you're a saboteur, you want to not let the miners get to the gold before the cards run out. But you don't know who's a miner and you don't know who's a saboteur, so you play in a circle of friends and essentially everyone is just pointing fingers at each other. Like, oh, he's a saboteur. No, wait. No, I'm a minor. Why are you blaming me? No. Oh, my God. It gets really good. It gets really intense.
And it's only $15 on Amazon, too. I might buy this shit.
Isn't very affordable.
That sounds like fun. Isn't there an app game that's similar to that right now? I can't remember the name of it.
It's like Werewolf or something?
No. You're talking about where there's like a murder.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My daughter's been playing it.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
It's kind of, but not really.
Yeah.
Oh, Among Us?
Among Us, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and there's an older one. One of the first VR games was something like Werewolf in the Night or something. And it was a VR game around a campfire.
Yeah.
And one of the people's a werewolf.
And you have to, yeah.
And it used to be like an icebreaker game where one of the people was a murderer. And everybody goes around the room and shake hands. And one person shakes hands and does like a little scratch thing. And everybody who gets their hand scratched, like they shake three or four more hands and then die.
And then they die. And you have to, after each round, figure out who
somebody has to be like, I think Ward's the killer. And nope, it was heads.
Just make sure you get the original Saboteur. So they have a Saboteur 2.
Okay.
And it's probably the combo set that comes with, you know, the first one and the second one. So you could just play the first one if you want. The second one gets a little too convoluted and complicated. The first one, the original, is perfect. The instructions are like 3 pages, small, 7 by 5 inch.
Yeah, no, it's really easy to play. Looking at it on Amazon, and it's, that sounds fun.
I definitely recommend.
My girlfriend, her mom got her this game for Christmas that we were playing in the car ride home. I had to drive up to Spokane on Wednesday to pick her son up at the airport. And so she got this game that we were actually able to play in the car while we were driving. And it's called Your Worst Nightmare.
Ooh.
And it has a stack of cards, like a fucking Bible-sized stack of playing cards. And all of the cards have fears on them. Ranging from everything of like public embarrassment, public toilets, monsters under the bed, basements,
the
like
number all, 13,
all sorts of shit. And many of them are things that I'm like, man, is that something people are really afraid of? Like swimming in dark water, you know, all sorts of really, really, you know, where you can't see what's underneath you, and that kind of stuff. But just reading through some of the fears was really cool. But so what you do.
Awfully specific, like
weird, one of them was
clowns are gonna get me.
one of them was like one of them was literally fear, being afraid of being afraid.
Well, yeah, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
And right, but so what you do is, however many people are playing the game, you take turns drawing 4 cards. And you draw the 4 cards, and then you read off what 4 fears they are, and you have to, in your own mind, rank them of what you're most afraid of versus least afraid of. And everybody in the game does the same thing, and they jot it down to themselves. And then each person goes around, and they randomly pick one person that's playing in the game, and they try to guess how that person ranked the fears.
Interesting.
It's really, really, and you learn a lot about people. Like I, for instance, my girlfriend literally, needles was one of the things that came up, and she was like, no, I am literally, she's like, I'm so afraid of needles that my doctor ordered me to go get a blood draw, and I got a new doctor.
I'm scared of sharks. Seriously. Jenny, just sharks.
No, it's a pretty
fun. I don't like to wade much further into the ocean than about knee deep.
Oh, I'm ankles.
Knee deep? Wow. Jimmy. I'll lose footing, but not much further than that.
Yeah, I wouldn't go much further than that. That's about where I'm at.
Mine is a combination of fear of sharks, fear of getting pulled away and not being able to, not being able to do anything about it.
Yeah.
Nope, just sharks.
Like, I don't consider myself a terrible swimmer. I can swim.
Yeah, but
you're
talking
about tiring.
Yeah, you get the ocean wins that one every time, buddy.
No, I don't think I have any irrational fears. Like, I'm not specifically afraid of like mountain lions or anything.
That was,
but I'm not gonna go fuck with a mountain lion.
Like, fuck you, mountain lions.
I'm not legitimately scared of sharks.
That was one.
But
of the
I'm
things.
Not gonna go fucking swim with them.
Right.
That was I'm not gonna go punch that, a bear in the face.
there were a few of them on there that I was like, yeah, shouldn't that just be something that everyone is really afraid of? Like hurricanes was one of them. And like, yeah, I can understand if you like, oh, when I was a kid, I was in a hurricane. And so I have this irrational fear of high winds. And so, but like right. hurricanes, yeah. Show me a person who wouldn't be like, nah, fuck this, man. It's fine. I'm not.
Everybody that lives in New Orleans.
I used to legitimately be scared of spiders.
I am.
And then in basic training, I got bit on the face by a brown recluse. And it was right here.
I still remember that.
That morning it started, it looked like a little pimple. And then by the evening it was swelled out. I looked like Quagmire from fucking Family Guy on half my face. And they had to cut it every day for 2 weeks and squeeze out this like green and red pus.
Ugh.
And it was awful. And they said if it had bit just a little bit lower, like the necrosis would have hit my jugular and I would have been done.
Oh, wow.
And so now I'm not scared of spiders anymore because that was like so close.
And I feel like that would make me more afraid of spiders.
Nope. I fucking survived.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Survived.
What are the odds, though, that he gets bitten twice in his life?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah. I know how it happened because apparently that particular spider – earns its name of recluse. It's super like not into being around people.
Yeah, right.
Like I had to have brought it back from the field because it was like the day after we got back from a field training exercise, and it had to have fallen off my gear and ended up on my pillow, and I had to have rolled over on it in my sleep, and it bit me because it was scared too.
Yeah.
What are those things that are over in the Middle East that look like face huggers? Are they camel spiders?
Camel spiders.
Yeah, man. Nope.
So was the movie Arachnophobia, was that just a no-go for you?
When I was a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie freaked
me. I was fucking paralyzed.
I love that
movie. And now I can just watch it and be like, whatever.
As an enjoyable comedy.
It doesn't matter.
When the one character's in the shower... And they start coming out of the. Oh fuck, man! That still gives me the willies.
That's
God
a John
damn.
Goodman. Actually, Jenny found this John Goodman show on Amazon last night called Alpha House.
That's good.
It's hilarious.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Nice. I love John Goodman.
Bill Murray's in the first 15 seconds of it.
Yeah.
Before he goes to prison, I don't know if he comes back later, but we didn't get that far.
That's a great show.
I'm not really scared of spiders, but I mean, they definitely, you know, they creep me out, but like even that camel spider, I feel like I just beat the shit out of it. You know, like if it tried to attack me, I would just tear its legs off.
Oh, I would run screaming in the highest octave that my body can.
I would just kick the shit out of it.
We had one that lived under the interrogation booths, and my buddy Jake said, "You could put a fucking saddle on that thing."
Yeah, those
write it to the DFAC.
That shit's yikes.
There, we heard it all the time. We saw it maybe twice, but it was goddamn big.
I was sitting in my basement one time, watching football with my whole family, and I was sitting with my arm up on the arm of the couch, and so the TV is over here, and I can just see my forearm and my hand like out of my peripherals, and. I saw movement and turned to see a spider starting to crawl up the sleeve of my hoodie. And I am not ashamed to say I fucking threw both of my arms up. I never found the spider to kill it because I just threw my arms up in the air as I literally fucking leapt off of the couch and screamed like a housewife with a 50s fucking. It was. Yeah, that's I don't do good with spiders at all.
Mara's gangster walk is something to behold.
That comment was funny. That had me chuckling. That was hilarious.
This is my 2-year-old daughter, Mara. She's
super hood.
She's
so. Can you attest to Jenny being afraid of nothing?
I don't know, man. She lives with you.
She lives with me.
She's afraid of the back of my hand. I know that much.
No,
would you give me one of those hilarious voices?
I don't know. I don't think she's scared of much.
Thank you.
Nothing in particular.
I've only talked to her that one time at the Elks, and she didn't say, like, I didn't ask her, are you afraid of things?
Laugh about it. I've known her.
Clowns.
I don't know her anywhere near as well as you do, but I've known her longer than you have, and I can't really think of.
She says, I brought a black widow to the preschoolers I used to work with. My supervisor didn't like that. So
I'm sure
she's got me beat there because I'm not going to capture the black widow alive.
Nope.
My thing with the black widow is, you're done.
I've always been a crusher on that front. Because those are aggressive.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Yeah, no, and we've had them here. I've had a couple in my garage and a couple in my pool boxes.
Yeah,
freak my kids out.
Yep.
But no, it's not like existential terror like they used to be. When I was a kid, I was fucking scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like when you're a kid, you're scared of a lot of things because you just don't understand it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what a lot of our fears come from, not knowing, from not understanding,
lack of just understanding in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like fear of the dark. The only reason you're afraid of the dark is because you don't know what's there.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is it? Lovecraft said that. The oldest and greatest fear of man is the fear of the unknown.
Well, that's why so much of his writing was done the way that it was.
Yeah.
It's all very abstract.
Like, oh, we can't understand that, and so we'll always be scared of it.
Yeah.
It has 1,000 young or fucking 18 eyes or tentacles for a face. It's creepy.
Unnatural beyond definition.
So Ron.
So yeah.
To shift gears.
I listened to last night. I've been building the 1,400 piece Lego Millennium Falcon.
I re-listened to both of Bruno's episodes today.
I wasn't able to finish the second one, but I did listen to the first one.
We were doing homework to make sure we didn't like wander into territory that's already been wandered in.
Oh, I did.
I was really bummed that I wasn't able to be a part of the show that you were on when you were on previously, because I what you do for a living is like, I don't want to say my dream job.
It's both within, like, it's within the realm of the arena you wanted to play in.
It's in that same kind of, maybe not the same ballpark, but definitely the same sport. And so getting the opportunity to talk to you was really, really exciting to me. And so I wanted to kind of do my homework, and I also wanted to make sure that I didn't retread over stuff that you guys had already discussed in the past. And I didn't hear this. Like I said, I didn't get to finish the second show, but how did you're a location scout, correct?
Well, I don't just scout. I work in the locations department. So yeah, sometimes that does entail scouting.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm just like the person being in between the production and the non-production people.
Okay. Okay.
Like the go-between.
So how did you get into that? Like what led to you being in the position that you're in now?
So I started wanting to act, which is what I feel like a lot of people in the business start out as, right? They come in through that. And then as they navigate through, they usually go into other positions.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, you know what? I like putting things together, logistics. I want to produce. And almost everyone I spoke to said, if you want to produce, locations is the best department for you, because you deal with every department in a production, and you deal with people outside of production. You deal with permits, you deal with a lot of the logistical stuff. And it's also like, if you want to become a producer in that world, that's usually the rank you go up from, through locations, and then you become a UPM, and then a line producer, and then executive producer, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So I had a friend that was in the industry as, also in locations, and I pretty much just begged him for like 2 years for any kind of opportunity. And he spent those 2 years trying to talk me out of it. Like, dude, you don't want it. It's crazy. Long hours. It's the worst job. And I was like, I don't care, man. Just anything, whatever. And one day it worked out. Okay. I haven't looked back since.
How long have you been doing it?
2016. So I'm going on 5 years now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you, so when you do something like that, do you work for a specific, like, do you work for an actual like individual entity, or are you like basically an independent contractor where you're hired out by different organizations, or how does that work?
So this is the part that's really difficult to explain and really difficult for people outside of the industry to grasp. And honestly, even if you're in the industry, if you don't work in production, if you work like for a studio or something or something like that, it's hard for people to grasp. So we're employees, but freelance, if that makes sense. So what happens is, let's say Marvel's filming the new Spider-Man, I don't know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
The producer knows, you know, their department heads, because you network with people as you work in the business. And the producer goes, all right, I'm going to hire this department head, this one, this one, this one, this one, whatever. And then the department heads, based off their networking, hire the people under them. So I'll get hired by my location manager, and they'll bring me on as an actual employee for the span of the project. So if the project is, let's say it's a 6 month project, I'll be a W-2 employee for 6 months. So I get paid, you know, regular paycheck with my taxes already deducted. And at the end of the year, I get a W-2 for my taxes. But then at the end of those 6 months, I'm now on my own to find my own job. So that's the freelance.
So then it goes back to more of a freelance type situation.
Right, exactly. Okay. And then, you know, then someone else will call me and I'll get a new job. And
so whatever. During that 6 months, are you dedicated to that production then?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the moment, my current project, I'm a 20th Century Fox employee or whoever Disney deals with, whatever their production company.
Studios.
Yeah. So
whatever they call themselves today. Yeah,
I can't remember now. So like
20th Century Studios, if I remember.
20th, right? Yeah. So the project I'm on is a Disney project. So I'm technically a Disney employee at the moment. Okay. Once this project is over, who knows? Maybe I'll be a HBO employee, Paramount, whatever.
Oh, good question, Jenny. How many different location managers do you have?
Typically, there's only one location manager. Depending on the project and the complexity of it, there could be multiple location managers. So if you're doing an episodic, so like a TV series, and it's very heavy with locations, you may have two location managers where, you know, this location manager does the even episodes and this one does the odd episodes.
Okay.
Or if you have, let's say, a big studio, $100 million project where you're filming in 5 different countries, you may have an overall location manager who oversees the whole movie as a whole, but then you have location managers in each country that report to that top guy. And yes, so Jenny's asking, do you have to follow different guidelines for Disney? Yeah, every studio has their own guidelines. For the most part, they're very similar, but everyone does have little intricacies and little differences. So there's a little bit of a learning curve anytime you go to a new production.
To piggyback off of that, because I had a question that's kind of similar to that. How many NDAs would you say that you've had to sign in the 5 years that you've been working?
Not many.
Really?
Yeah, they don't really, it's not really an NDA per se that you sign. You know, you sign your start work, and then there's usually just like a little form that says you can't take photos, you can't post on social media about anything that you're filming or anything like that.
So it's not like an actual NDA. It's more of a gentleman's agreement NDA type thing.
Exactly. It's not like,
you know, like a contract you enter into within, like if you breach the contract, you're fired.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Right.
Have you ever dealt with anybody who's violated that kind of stuff? Cause one of the things that the reason why what you do is so fascinating to me and why it was something I've always been so interested in is, Ward and I have talked in the past. I had no interest in acting. I can play pretend pretty well, but I have really, really bad fear of public performance and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing is never been something that was interesting to me. I'm interested in that kind of stuff, the location scouting, the back end production aspect of it. That's what's always fascinating.
You'd have had fun working with me back like in 2003 when I was taking like video production classes and stuff.
Yeah.
I actually, because I got into doing that because of interest in acting. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately started doing like production schedules and stuff like that, and breaking the script down and stuff like, okay, we can film these six scenes here this day and these scenes here this day, because we had all the scenes like broke up at different locations and stuff, and that was more
crazy, which was more full frontal for the right amount of money.
It was more fun
full
to
penetration.
Me
full penetration
it was more fun to me to do that, it turned out, than the acting, and I suck at acting.
Two separate worlds.
Yeah, no, I know. No, I didn't. I, like I said, I didn't want to move to Hollywood because I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to move to Hollywood because I wanted to be involved in making the stuff. I didn't want to be in.
You would have had a much easier time.
I didn't want to be in front of the camera.
I was apprehensive to do this, to go to LA or do any of that stuff, just because of the fear of failure.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was probably, I'd just be scared of California.
So one of the
things and being in a bigger place.
One of the things that
Bruno's I'm in New Jersey.
Now,
I follow.
To back up just a little,
I got somebody. Eduardo has a question though for Bruno.
Oh, Eduardo,
can you get me in a movie with Bill Murray? Look, I do. I have a friend of mine has personally worked with Bill Murray and knows him. I do not know Bill Murray. You can call Bill Murray's hotline though, because
apparently it's hard to get anything done with Bill Murray. You have to catch him
in the right mood.
Yeah.
And then.
So he doesn't have an agent. He just has a hotline, and you call his hotline to try to get in touch with him. So you either know someone who knows him, or you know him, or you go through his hotline.
Well, and I just know a guy who knows a guy who knows Mel Gibson.
I saw Kevin Bacon once at the water slides when I was like 11.
Wow, that's one degree of separation.
I know, exactly.
Wow, yeah.
You don't have even a degree of separation.
You win that game.
You swam in the same waters.
Right. Yeah.
You're part of that bacon
gravy. Same molecules, We probably touched the same water molecule.
Yum.
Oh, so, man.
That's intimate.
Now, when you have different location managers who, like, one does odd, one does even, would you work for both of them? Or
sometimes, typically.
Okay. So it wouldn't be like one of them would hire you and you would only work on half the episodes.
It can all depend, but typically it'll be two managers, but then the team underneath are the same. They'll just move back and forth between the managers. The reason that you need the two managers is because, so TV moves really fast, really fast. Like you're filming episode one. While you're filming episode one, you're already prepping episode two, right?
And probably.
Sometimes.
TV production is as much of a gauntlet as it's made out to be.
What do you mean?
That it is just wham, 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 wham.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, so
I've heard that before, but.
Yeah. I talked to you just like a month or so ago, and you were working on a Hulu project, weren't you?
It's a Disney Hulu project.
Oh, is
it's done by Disney to stream on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a TV show. But yeah, in that realm, the series realm, you know, it moves really fast. So if it's a locations heavy production where, you know, maybe they're on stage only like one or two days instead of, you know, maybe a handful of days, it's nearly impossible for a location manager to be filming episode one and be dealing with prepping for episode two. It's just, it would be a nightmare. You would get no sleep essentially.
Right.
So that's typically when they'll do, you know, multiple location managers.
Okay.
Because the directors are not the same, you know, the directors, they switch as well.
Yeah,
so,
like some of them, they have a different director for every single episode.
Yeah,
exactly.
So exactly. With there being like on TV shows and stuff with like where they have like guest directors come in, and Kevin Smith will talk a lot about like being a guest director on like Supergirl or some shit like that. Is it really like is there any style that comes from those the director, or is a lot of it just kind of handled by the crew because they're kind of sticking to the format that's already in place for whatever the show happens to be?
Yeah, the style is dictated more by the DP and the showrunners. The showrunners are usually the people who wrote the original story and the producers.
So the director's kind of more there to call action and cut and
make sure the performances. So, and look, it really depends. You know, some showrunners, they want the director's input, and you know, they get pieces
or they want from the director, a little flavor from that director. And
right. Sometimes not. Sometimes they're really just there to call cut and action, and that's it.
All right.
So I'm going to avoid all the bitchy questions, but I'm going to ask, who's the best director you've ever worked with?
I wouldn't be able to even tell you because I don't really deal with directors too much.
I wasn't going to ask for you to name names because I don't want you to put yourself out like that. But what I do want to ask, like tangentially from that, is not who was the most difficult person that you had to work with, because again, I don't want you to have to name names. But can you describe the most difficult situation that you had to deal with in terms of just like pulling your hair out? Oh, fuck this person.
I can give you the perfect example. Perfect. And it wasn't really a person, you know, it was just the scope of the work that I was put in charge of was pretty massive. So, I had to essentially deal with two city blocks worth of businesses. You're talking about like 50, 60 businesses.
Yeah.
So I had to be the intermediary for these 50, 60 businesses while having to deal with like 40 crew members, right? Needs and just all the bitching and moaning from the business owners. Cause you know, you get bitching and moaning. That's just, it's normal.
Yeah.
And I was starting to pull my hair out cause it was crazy. It was a lot to deal with.
How long did that go on?
It was a month and a half of prep, I believe. No, hold on, I'm not done. It was a month and a half of prep. So what happens is we'll come in, prep the location, right? Then we'll come and film it, and then we wrap it out, meaning we put it back to however it was beforehand.
Yeah.
So we're coming in a month and a half, we're changing, you know, all the signs out, all the awnings for like 50, 60 businesses. It's a lot of changes. It's about a month and a half of work. And then we're there filming for about 4 days. And then we're another month of cleaning up and getting out of there. So all in all, it was like a 2 month process. Jeez. Two to three months. Yeah.
Just to make it look like it's the right time and place.
Just, yeah, essentially right time and place and everything. It's like I said, four days of filming. It's probably going to be a total of like 5 minutes in the film.
Have you worked on
maybe 10
in that regard? Have you worked on much like period piece type stuff where you really have to go the extra mile and make sure like, no, every car that's on the block has to be like 40s or 50s.
We talked about this the last one a little bit, but I asked this exact question, but that's okay. Cause I want to hear more if he's got more.
So yeah, I mean, this particular instance was a period piece, it even crazier. It made it even crazier, but yeah, no, I've done, I worked on, Pose season one, which is period.
I remember hearing about that. That took place in like the '80s, right?
Seventies, eighties.
Yeah.
It's like AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
Yes, '70s, '80s. Yeah. Cause it's like the ballroom scene around the LGBTQ community and stuff. And it was all like old style cars. And I remember, it's funny cause I watched the first season. And I remember seeing a scene where, because what we'll do is, you know, we'll not my department, right? But the production will rent out these cars, and we'll also rent what we call a blocking truck. A blocking truck is literally a period looking truck that's meant to get in front of things that are not period, to block the camera.
No shit.
Yeah. So
that's great.
So if you ever see a truck somewhere in the background, it's because they're blocking something that was not part of the period, and we just couldn't change it or
get rid of it in time or whatever.
Exactly, whatever it is.
That's hilarious.
Huh? Interesting.
So I saw that truck, and the way that the cars were organized, you could tell that block had not been fully cleared of parking for us. So there was a non-period car that had remained in its parking space, and they had to cover it up so that it wouldn't
obscure it with a truck in some way.
That's why they made dynamite, though. You just blow that shit up. You're like, oh, whoops.
So, and I feel like this is a fucking job interview, so I apologize.
For no, that. Dude, I mean, this is I fun. I like talking about this stuff.
But no, I could pick your brain for fucking hours, honestly. What's your, like, I don't know if end game is the right, I mean, it mm-hmm. is the right way, but like, what's where I
do you
I
plan to stay where you're at, or do you plan to climb yourself in?
No, but I will produce it, you know,
I'm going from where you're at currently
producing, you know, that's the ultimate goal, is produce my own projects, mm-hmm. not projects necessarily that I've written, but projects that I find, you
do
know,
you so write?
I don't write. I have friends who write, and I collaborate with them.
Okay.
But I just want to find the projects, take the projects, find the funding for it, put the whole thing together, and then see it through production and then distribution and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
That's,
if you ever need a pretty charismatic face, I can be there.
Just
and you're into nudity, so that's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. You need a guy to shower in the background.
You know, we get that a lot. So, you know, we film in public. So there's regular civilians walking down the sidewalk and whatever, and they'll stop and they'll ask, like, oh, what are you guys doing?
You need
and,
somebody to get naked?
Well, no. So we get a lot of the times, like, oh, you need any extras? And that's usually my go-to line, like, you in a nudity? usually people are like, oh, never mind.
Do you know how fast I can get naked?
You need me right now. Let's go right now.
That's great. So to kind of lead into the next thing, how has, now that we've been dealing with COVID for, I mean, shit, what was it?
Well, when you were completely shut down in September, yeah. when we, or August, was, when yeah, we did yeah. the
I was
show.
Say, was it August or September when he was on?
And he wasn't.
How has it been since then?
Right there.
So it's been completely different. I mean, I get tested 3 times a week.
Really?
Yeah, 3 times a week. The last project I was on and this project, I get tested Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
And you're still, I guess it would be safe to say you're COVID. You haven't had COVID once.
I caught it right in the beginning. So,
oh, did you?
I'm good.
I know one of the things that a lot of sports stuff you see done in like the NBA and in some, I think the MLB did a little bit of it as well. Do they try to keep you like kind of in a bubble? Do they limit you, or at least ask you to limit your?
They do. I mean, you know. It's impossible to, it's, you know, it's not like the NBA where they just kept the athletes surrounded only amongst themselves and they couldn't have any outs. You know, we go home every day. We deal with our spouses, parents, kids, you know, family members. So it's tough to do that, but it is very strict. They have us. So essentially the protocols are you get put into zones, right? So, and each production names their zones differently. But in the case that I'm in right now, if you're in zone A, that's the highest risk zone. That's the zone you're closest to the actors, right? Oh, okay. That would be your DP, your director, obviously your actors, maybe the sound guy, your hair and makeup people, right?
People who are really intimately close to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those people are getting tested 3 times a week. You obviously have to wear your mask. And you have to wear a face shield on top of your mask. Both.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. And
yeah, they still try to make it's difficult to maintain 6 feet apart when you're on a set.
Yeah.
But they try their best to do that. And then That's zone A. Then you have zone B plus, which is what I'm in right now. And zone B plus is someone who shifts between zone A and zone B. So we also get tested 3 times a week. Same thing, masks on. And if you're on set, if you're near the actors, face shields. If you're within 6 feet of someone, face shields as well. Then you have zone B. Zone B people, I think, only get tested once or twice a week. They're usually more on the outskirts of the inner area. And then you have zone C. Zone C are people that are, they're like office or, you know, never come anywhere near production. They'll get tested once a week and they just have to wear a mask. They don't know face shields or anything like that. But, and then depending on the studio that's doing this, you know, some are way more strict than others. So the last project I was on a Netflix movie with, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and the COVID team on that was no joke. These guys were super anal about everything. I mean, before we walked into a space, they had to go in, inspect the space. They had to see what the air quality was like. They had to see how big the space was. Wow. They told us how many people were allowed to be in that space at the same time. We had air scrubbers come in to scrub the air while people were there. It's, yeah, it's...
That's crazy.
Do you think... Okay, incredible. That might tie into the next part of this conversation, but so do you think Lin-Manuel Miranda's attachment to it kind of dictated the terms of that, possibly?
No, I think it's a Netflix thing.
It was more of a Netflix thing.
Okay.
Sure it's entirely insurance driven.
Well,
absolutely. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, the studios are trying to cover their asses, right? Because if someone gets sick or there's an outbreak, they don't want to be like, oh, we didn't do anything. They want to be like, look, we did everything. Well, there's nothing else we could have done to prevent this. Someone must have not done what we asked them to do. You know,
isn't it also like you know, time is money, obviously. And one of the things that I followed was the production on the new Jurassic World and some of the COVID testing procedures that they were doing and how many times production would get halted. Or, I mean, it happened with Matt Reeves's new Batman. Mm-hmm. Movie too. Any of that time where production gets shut down because of a lapse in the COVID stuff, that's all just money that goes straight to the toilet. I mean, that's,
yeah.
They're not just worried about saving money on the insurance portion of it. They're worried about, you know, if they have to shut down for 6 weeks or 2 weeks because the star of the show got COVID because people weren't doing what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's just money that they might as well wipe their asses with, right?
Absolutely. No, I mean, you're paying rental equipment. You're paying rent on the studio and stage space. You're paying the vehicle rentals. I mean, you know, people, when they think of movies, they think of, they get dollar signs in their eyes because they think, you know, there's a lot of money involved. And yeah, there is a lot of money involved, but there's also a lot of money being spent. You know, you're employing like hundreds of people.
Yeah.
You have, you know, dozens dozens of vehicles, gas and toll for those vehicles, equipment rental, location fees, background actors, forget it. There's a lot of money involved.
So with now, wasn't in the newest stimulus, wasn't something worked in for entertainment, or wasn't it talked about?
I don't know.
Well, I remember the reason I bring it up is because a friend of mine had posted about basically like, why do we need to give money to entertainers? And it was the whole idea of like, it was basically some sort of a piece of the bill that was basically trying to keep like the entertainment industry, like give money to the entertainment industry for the COVID relief stuff.
Oh, the whole, they make millions.
Yeah. It's like they make millions. Like, and it's like, well, no, not everybody working in the movie industry is George Clooney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets so, 6 figures a picture.
Well, and the other thing is it's not like they're not providing a value.
Right. Yeah. Like, do you not sit down every night and enjoy some form of entertainment?
And I can agree that not every fucking movie is high art.
Sure.
But, no. I mean, I watched fucking Deathstalker, for Christ's sake.
I was going to say, man, I make a ritual out of watching movies that are definitely not high art.
So would you come down? I'm guessing you'd come down on Tom Cruise's side with his blow up.
I've got mixed feelings about that. Before we get there, I just want to address Tori's question. Tori's asking, does it get easier being tested that much, or does it suck just as badly every time? I think you get used to it. I mean, it still sucks. Still, it's a little weird. But I will say, though, they're not going as deep anymore as they used to. They're kind of just like going maybe like this far versus before they would go this far.
Have they discussed getting you the vaccine?
No.
Okay.
No. I'll be honest, though. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to get it.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. I'm on the fence.
Throwing them away.
I don't get the flu vaccine.
I don't get the flu vaccine. Why would I get this?
And I know my opinion differs with many of the people I share the same hemisphere with, but I don't get the flu vaccine either.
Yeah, no.
I take vitamins.
Yep.
And
same here. And you build an immunity.
I wash my hands.
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't know.
And I don't scratch my asshole and then shake people's hands.
here's my experience right. with COVID. I've been around one person.
Can't say anything about the people positive. Shaking your hands though.
Yeah.
He was 5 years old, and he read a book and recovered.
Hey, dude!
He tested positive both at a Walgreens and the hospital, and he stayed home, did his little quarantine thing. He had a sniffle, and he was fine. 75 years old. I'm not scared.
Here's my rebuttal, but it's not even really a rebuttal because it's kind of just adding in to what you're saying. My parents got it, both. Pretty positive that dad brought it home from work. Mom is what they describe as the high-risk people. She has really, really shitty lungs. She's had pneumonia several times in her life. That is a good question, actually, because that's something I've wondered about the healthcare workers that I have friends
with. I was going to answer that after. But
okay.
Sorry.
But I have several friends and family members in the healthcare industry who I'm like, okay, so now that you have the vaccine, do you still have to get tested? But so pretty positive that dad brought it home from work. We know that dad had it because when mom was in the hospital for it, he had to get tested and he had the antibodies and, you know, so on and so forth. Dad had a fever for an evening, basically. Like he came home from work and he was like, man, I feel like shit. I'm taking some NyQuil and I'm going to bed early. And that was it. My mom was in the hospital for 20 days on an oxygen ventilator because her lungs could not pump enough oxygen to keep her alive.
See, I'm thinking of getting donating blood so I can get the antibody test.
Like the 90s.
No, she hasn't. But again, that's what I'm saying is you've got two people who are literally the same exact age. One is in not as good a health as the other one, but neither of them are what I would consider like a fucking pinnacle of physical health.
Right.
But look at the severe difference between, I mean, one of them had a fever for a matter of 8 hours and the other one literally would have died if it weren't for modern medicine.
And was it the COVID that did that? Nobody fucking knows.
And that's a whole nother concept.
That's what my symptoms were like. I had fever for like 24 hours, if that, and I was good after that.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Mars and I had it like last late March, early April. And we had this like horrible brown snot for a couple of days and then we were fine. And
I got really lethargic over the summer for a few days.
What made you spit out your drink, Tori?
And what made you spit out your drink?
Because I love a good spit take if they're genuine.
But yeah, so I'm curious. I'm almost like tempted to go donate blood more for my, just to find out if I have the antibodies.
One of my coworkers actually, so he had it and he is, is it O negative is the super rare blood type?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets phone calls and like letters in the mail and stuff.
Soliciting his blood.
Soliciting his blood. Because it's the universal donor.
They're like, please, please, we need your blood, especially in trying times like these, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no shit. They're literally like.
Is he a generous person?
I honestly don't know him well enough to answer that question. Okay.
Because the Japanese have nice this guy, idea that your whole personality can be. Because you know how Japanese video games always put people's blood type.
Yeah.
They use it like a horoscope. Like really? you can tell somebody's entire personality based on it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I always wondered if the universal donor was also like a generous person, because I'm a universal receiver and I'm the most selfish person in the whole fucking world. And no, so like I said,
he's a nice guy, but I don't know him well enough to know.
I put the answer quite a bit of stock. What is
altruism meter is? Yeah.
But so anyway, to circle back to the, and you may not even know the answer to this question, but if you were to get vaccinated, would you still then be subjected to getting tested?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Because the uncertainty around the vaccine actually working and the uncertainty with, like, apparently these new strains and everything, they would still test us. So just to double check.
That makes sense.
The new strains to keep the news media going.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know,
they exist. I'm just.
This is. I feel like this is just going to be. This is just going to be the norm. The norm in the industry for like maybe another year or two until things calm down and slow down, and we gain some kind of herd immunity, and then we'll gradually wane off of it.
And it'll become just similar to the flu.
Right.
The 1918 flu or whatever.
Okay. So my last question,
I don't know about you. Call Valley Med for what?
They weren't helpful for me when I tried to get tested. I'll tell you that. They asked me if I had symptoms. I said no. And they said, well, then just act as though you have it. And I was like, well, that's not really fucking helpful, but okay. My last question for you. And again, I could fucking pick your brain for,
dude, you can hit me up off air if you want. No problem.
I already started following you on Twitter while we were doing this. Just so you know.
All right.
You have a fanboy now. Just so you know. But my last question for you before we move on to, because I'm dying to talk about Wonder Woman 84.
I want to circle back to Tom Cruise too, real quick.
Yes. Yes.
What is in it relates to all of this COVID stuff. We've talked several times on the show the last couple episodes about the death of the American theater chain and the continuing rise of streaming versus, you know, home media viewing versus going to the theater and that kind of stuff. As somebody who works in the industry, A, do you have an opinion on that? And B, what do you see changing?
So it's sad that theaters are dying, but that's the reality. Theaters are dying. And unless they can do something new and innovating, it's going to slowly die away. You know, it won't die completely. You know, like you still have drive-thrus.
Yeah.
You still have drive-thru theaters, and you're still going to have the theater because it's a special experience.
Absolutely.
But it's just not going to be as common. It's just not going to be as common, essentially. Anyone can afford a nice size TV for their living room now and a decent
86 inches.
Exactly. And
so jealous.
A decent sound system.
Yeah.
So why are you going to go out and spend all this money when you could just watch it at home for a tenth of the price, be in the comfort of your own home? I think you guys spoke about this on a previous show. You don't have to deal with all the morons who are in the theater with you.
We don't even have that bad of a theatrical experience where we live, just because we live in such a rural area.
I'd say the worst part of the experience is the ads.
Yeah, the ads are really terrible. Yeah.
And they cut it back to two.
We don't live in an area with a big, you know, our multiplex only has, I think, like 8 screens. We don't live in a place.
That's pretty large.
It is.
That's a pretty large multiplex.
We have
multiplexes here.
It's like 16.
Well, that's Spokompton, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
I don't
know.
They go big on everything.
Consistently, what I always hear is,
how big do you have there, Bruno?
I was trying to think about that. I think the biggest one in my area is like 12 screens.
So 8's a good size.
But see, that's the thing. The biggest one in your area, we have 8, but we have that one.
We're utilizing maybe 3 of those right now.
Yeah.
Or 4, depending on what movies are coming out. Like, they close and open and close and open.
I hear so frequently about people of like, oh, I had some fat shit sitting behind me who couldn't figure out how to eat his M&Ms with his mouth closed, or these 2 teenagers that were sitting in front of me on their cell phones the entire time talking and blah, blah, blah. And maybe I'm just extraordinarily fortunate, but I don't really have that experience very often when I go to the theater. Like when I went and saw, I've mentioned it many times, when I went and saw Midsommar, I was literally the only fucking person in the theater. It really? Was great.
Yeah. What time did you go? What time of day?
Early evening, like not the late show, but the like not the matinee show, not the late show, but you know, like 6-ish.
I try to go on like times where people don't go so I can have the theater almost to myself.
I do that as well sometimes.
Also, those times are usually cheaper.
Yeah,
well, that's true.
I mean, I went to the what was the most recent midnight release that I went to, and even
Tenet.
No, I still haven't seen Tenet, actually.
I watched it in theaters.
Was it all right?
How was it? Was it as convoluted and frustrating as people make it?
It is pretty convoluted.
Okay.
And a little tough to understand, but I mean, I think I was able to understand it.
Nolan's movies.
Well, that was Inception for me. It took a while for me to like wrap my mind around Inception.
Like, if you had trouble with Inception, I think you may have, because like Tenet is just even deeper.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I finally got Inception. Like, Inception finally occurred to me what was happening. Like, I mean, I probably got it when it came out the first time.
Yeah.
But I was like, no. But then this time I watched it more recently this year, I was like, oh, okay.
So
you're just in this dream within this dream within this dream within this dream. It's essentially the whole.
Yeah.
And I love Memento.
Memento's good.
Memento is fantastic.
Prestige is incredible.
It's not even a discussion. Prestige is his best movie, hands down.
And I'm interested in Tenet just because I want to get my mind fucked with a little bit. But it's one of those ones I won't be able to watch with my wife. She'll be like, I'm bored by this.
I love basically everyone.
Women suck.
The biggest reason why I haven't watched it yet is, for one, I don't want to go see it in the theater because, and you can probably attest to this, Bruno, I've heard that the sound mixing is so bad that you like genuinely need to watch it with subtitles.
I don't think so.
No? Okay. I heard it pretty consistently from a lot of people, but the biggest reason I want to see it is not because it's a Christopher Nolan movie. I love everybody that's in that movie.
Jenny, do you mean Inception or Tenet?
I have an unhealthy crush on Elizabeth Debicki, the chick that was, she was in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and she was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Which one is she in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Aisha, the gold lady.
Oh. I don't know what she is without makeup on.
Yeah. She's gorgeous she is.
I don't like gold skinned girls. That girl died in Goldfinger.
For everything that he got shit on for doing Twilight, I think Robert Pattinson is a remarkably talented actor.
Yeah, he is.
And I really, really like almost everything I've seen him in outside of Twilight. Kenneth Branagh speaks for himself.
I can see that.
Fucking awesome. Like, everybody that's in that movie, I am a genuine large fan of. And it's a Christopher Nolan movie. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Once it's streaming and I can watch it at home with subtitles, I'll totally watch it.
Do it. I mean, it's worth a watch, you know?
Jenny, what movie are you talking about?
Yeah.
Inception or Tenet?
So,
I haven't seen Tenet yet.
Ward, you were asking me about Tom Cruise's thing.
Yeah.
And so I have mixed feelings about that.
Okay.
I also don't know if that was planned. You know what I mean? Like, that may have been for show.
That's kind of what I
like, a big
kind of what I wanted, like, theater, right. Like, mm-hmm. to be like, look at me being all like supportive of this whole movement that we're having right now.
Right. I think there's a chance it may have been a stunt, just because, like I said, you know, I mean, from what I heard on that
set, you can say it and be done with it. And then also, like, he said it and just kept on saying it and saying it.
Well, no, it's like, how do those recordings even get out? You know, like, I heard on that, I don't know how true this is, because I'm allowed to keep my phone on almost all the sets I've been on. But apparently on that set, you're not allowed to have your phone, which means, where did the recording come from? Because if it's the sound guy recording it, there's no way the sound guy is releasing that sound. He's going to get fired and probably never hired again, if that's a real thing.
And the quality on that was like...
It was pretty incredible, right? Quality, it was pretty good quality.
It wasn't through somebody's pocket.
Right. So there's some debate there whether, you know, that was fake or whether it was real. However, if it was real, you know, from one side, I get where he's coming from. And it's like, you know, why do you have to be the asshole that's not following directions that is going to essentially screw it up for everybody? You know, like, it's essentially what he's saying. Like, there's people, this is their livelihood. This is how they pay their mortgage. This is how they get their kids through college and all of that. And not only that, it's also the responsibility that, you know, a lot of jobs are still not back in. A lot of jobs have still been deemed non-essential, and we have now been deemed essential. And for us to then go and screw it up, you know, it's going to make us look bad. Yeah. So why would you be that asshole to do that?
A bad example for everybody else.
Pretty much. On the other hand, it's like, dude, you don't need to talk to people that way. You know, it's like, maybe you say something once, you lose your cool for a second, and then you're like, all right, just, you know, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Let's pull him aside. Or, dude, if you're Tom Cruise, you would literally get him fired. You would just be like, you would just go to the producer and be like, yo, this guy, I've asked him two or three times to follow the rules. He's not following the rules. I don't want him near me anymore. Please, can you not have him on set? You know, you're not going to berate someone like that.
It reminded me a lot of that Christian Bale thing from several years back.
That was real, though.
Well, yeah, that was real. That was 100% real. But more to the point that you were just making about, like, what, like, in what world, I don't care who you are, yeah, you're fucking Tom Cruise, but in what world do you think that it's okay for you to speak to another person like that, like, ever?
Well, and the other thing is it's Tom Cruise, and everything he does is so heavily controlled.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, and also very cranked up to 11.
But his whole life since joining the fucking...
Not Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise.
What is that fucking? Oh,
Scientology.
Ever since he's been their poster boy, like, everything has been tightly controlled. And so that getting out is not likely. And whoever released it, if it wasn't on purpose, if it wasn't.
I thought he had left recently, but I guess not.
No, he's still like their. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It just downplayed a lot more than it used to be because. Yeah. After those, like that Going Clear documentary came out.
And Leah Remini.
And Leah Remini's thing about after Scientology on A&E.
Well, and then the cult thing that Nexium cult thing with Allison Mack. Like, all sorts of cult shit's like
they
cropping up, and it's making cults unpopular.
They try to kind of keep themselves a little bit more deliberately distant.
Yeah, they're definitely more aloof about it.
Yeah. It's kind of an unspoken thing.
Well, I mean, he was aloof in that, in his little Oprah thing years ago, where he's dancing
on the
couch.
On the couch.
That was like, almost his distraction. Like, yeah, Scientology. But look at me, be crazy. Well,
look at how much traffic there was for the whole concept of what was going on with his marriage to Katie Holmes.
Yeah. Right.
All of that. Of, oh, the. the church is trying to control her and she doesn't want to be a part of it and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you got to sell People magazine somehow. So you got to have some kind of story to put in there. But like,
and even for Tom Cruise, I mean, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Think about it. Everyone makes fun of him for that, but we're still talking about it. How many years later?
Yeah.
Still buying that ticket to Mission Impossible.
Yeah. I mean, his daughter's
the last one with Henry Cavill was a great movie.
All of them have been awesome. All of them after three have just been amplified.
I was going to say, I didn't like the second one.
I haven't disliked any of them.
I didn't like the second one.
John Woo movies are hit.
Third one was okay, but like one was good, but then everyone after that has been amplified.
They've just gotten better.
Yeah.
And the action scenes have just gotten better.
All right, peeps, didn't I tell you this was the best one? They fucking nailed it as usual. In case you weren't listening at the beginning, make sure you head over to timespentpoorly.com and click things. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, subscribe on YouTube and get notified the next time we're live. Maybe you appreciate what we give you and you want to support us? Great! Head over to patreon.com/timespentpoorly and check out how you can do just that. Thanks again for wasting your time with us this week. Now go make better use of it! Until next time.